This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabihi al-kareem, alayhi afdalus salatu wa atamu taslim, rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, something really interesting just happened. I already started to receive Eid Mubarak messages, and tonight is the 27th night of Ramadan. We haven't even gotten through the 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th. Allahu Akbar. We're already receiving Eid Mubarak messages. May Allah make it easy for every single one of us to maximize from this month of Ramadan. One thing that, really bothers me is when we start celebrating too early and when we start to get too excited in advance. And that's part of us as humans, right? It's part of our natural behavior as human beings. We tend to do this. You know, we get very happy and excited, and that's natural to be excited for a celebration, natural to be excited for, some time of ease. We've been going through difficulty and hardship, and we know that it's natural to also be happy on the day of Eid because we would have achieved, you know, working really hard throughout the month of Ramadan and full and complete forgiveness, inshallah. Inshallah, right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with that. Having said that, though, we still do need to continue through with the 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th juz of the Quran. So we will jump right into that. Today we are doing the 27th juz of the Quran, and therefore we're going to be starting with the ending of Surah Al-Dhariyat. We're not actually going to take anything from Surah Al-Dhariyat. Let's go straight to Surah At-Tur, the Mount, right? Surah At-Tur, and we'll look at verse number. So at the beginning, verse number 9 and verse number 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Day of Judgment, right? On that day, the heavens will be shaken violently, and the mountains will be blown away entirely. Then woe to the day, on that day, to those who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who amuse themselves with falsehood. It is the day they will be fiercely shoved into Jahannam, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save and protect every single one of us. Ameen. So the description of Jannah is here, and we know that, Jahannam, description of the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, you know, the world, or the heavens, we should say, because the world is going to be destroyed. So the heavens are going to shake violently. The mountains will be blown away completely. The world will be destroyed. Everything as we know it will not be the way it was anymore. And so we need to work hard to get past that point successfully, inshallah. You know, a simple example, I was in the masjid 3 months ago before we closed up. Kind of weird to say that, but you know, it is what it is. I just left the masjid about an hour and a half ago, and I was getting into my car, and as I was leaving, a brother pulled up, and he got out of his car, and he took a bottle of water, and he started to make wudu outside of the masjid, and he was going to pray his salah outside. So he drove to the masjid, you know, stopped his car outside there and started to make wudu just to pray outside of the masjid, not even inside the masjid. And I asked him afterwards, I was like, what? He goes, we were just in the area, we were passing through and it was time for salah. So he's like, I figured I would just, stop and pray in the parking lot instead of stopping somewhere else in a park or somewhere, then pray in the parking lot of the masjid. So alhamdulillah, he did that. And it was so nice to see, that someone came and they were thinking, my attachment to the masjid is important. And this world, we need to give it all we've got because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will completely shake things up. And we will wish that we pass that test successfully. And as I was saying a few months ago, I was in the masjid and this brother, he came to me after salah. I think it was after asr or maghrib prayer. And I can't remember his name now. I'm not going to mention his name, but I just can't remember his name. I like to try and put faces to names so I can remember people. But anyways, he was telling me, he goes, I have this exam. I have two exams. Can you make dua for me? So I made, dua for him on the spot. And then, the next day when I saw him, he was like, have you, you know, made dua for me. I'm like, yeah, I did, alhamdulillah. And then he goes, okay, good, because I have one more exam. I'm like, how was the previous one? He's like, oh, don't ask about it. I'm like, well, then that means that my dua isn't very powerful anymore, right? He's like, why? What do you mean? I said, because you asked me to make dua for you yesterday, and I was with you, and I made a dua for you, and you're telling me the exam was terrible. He's like, oh, it was so terrible, I failed. I'm like, how do you know you failed? He's like, no, I know, I did so bad that I failed. And I was like, just wait, you never know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he is the owner of the unseen. And Allah azza wa jal has the ability to make us pass at times when we think we're going to fail. Allah knows, right? And sometimes failing is better for us. I remember the very first time that I failed an exam in my life, and I felt like the worst person on the face of this earth. I felt like I was a disgrace to my family. I felt like I was, you know, absolutely, you know, the worst person ever, subhanAllah. And it was just like one subject that I failed. But having done that semester again, or that subject again, I realized it was a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I understood so much more the second time around. And I was able to grasp all the knowledge that was being given to us. And, you know, it actually made it a lot easier for me moving forward. So, you know, failure sometimes is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we shouldn't laugh at the face of hardship. Hardship is something that we go through in order to make us stronger. So the more that we go through hardships now, the better it will be for us later on. We'll be able to laugh later on. We'll be able to smile a lot later on, inshallah ta'ala. So that's, you know, mentioned here. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verses number 21 to verse number 28 of Surah At-Tur, he says, as for those who believe and whose descendants follow them in faith, we will elevate their descendants to their rank, never discounting anything of the reward of their deeds. Every person will reap only what they sowed, as in every single person will get what they earned. And here we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us, Mu'in ad-Din, when did they increase the gathering from 5 to 10? I just noticed your message, Brother Mu'in ad-Din, and I, from what I saw this morning, based on the news, the maximum amount in terms of a gathering is still 5 people. So unless something changed in the last like hour or two, I'm not too sure where that came from, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of us. Khair, that just caught my eye, and that's the problem with having comments there, but it's good. Keep the comments coming, you know, comment as you wish, inshallah ta'ala. No, Abdul Hasib, this is not the time from now on. I'll explain later. I posted about it, but just for today, we're starting 1 hour early because I do have another live stream that's happening on my Facebook page that will start at 7:50. So we need to wrap up this one before that. I can't be doing two things at the same time. So this one will wrap up, inshallah ta'ala, by around 7:30 or 7:40. And then by 7:50, inshallah, the live streaming on Facebook will begin. And that, I encourage everyone to join in for that as well on Facebook. That's going to be myself, Sheikh Ibrahim Hindi, Sheikh Ala, and Sheikh Musleh Khan. It's a discussion. It's not an actual speech. It's not a lecture or anything. It's a discussion that we're having about Ramadan, about the 27th night, about how to spend the 27th night and how we personally have been spending some time throughout this month of Ramadan. So please do join us for that at 7:50 p.m. on my Facebook page, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so Surah At-Tur, verse number 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we will be elevated in status, but with our family, and that's the beautiful thing. And he says we will continue to provide them with whatever fruit or meat that they desire. Whatever we desire of the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to us, and we will only desire the best and what is pure. As you see in verse number 23, they will pass around to each other a drink, right, which is wine. Right, but pure wine that doesn't intoxicate, a beautiful flavor. And subhanAllah, you know, when you think of it, grape juice is such a nice flavor. It's so beautiful. I'm not talking about wine. I'm talking about grape juice. I've never, alhamdulillah, never touched any intoxicant in my life, alhamdulillah. But, you know, when it comes to just the flavors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us flavors, but then the flavors can be intensified, and not intensified in terms of fermenting, but intensified in terms of beauty and natural beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put within these, fruits and foods that He will provide for us in paradise. And then he says, so they will pass around the drink as families. They will sit together. They will enjoy together. They will eat together. They will feast together. They will have whatever they want. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the families will be elevated together. And this is why it's important for us to work together as a family in this dunya so that we can be together as well in Jannah. It's not a condition, but it would be nice that we spend time with our family in Jannah because we enjoyed spending time with our family here in this dunya. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to be reunited with all of our loved ones who have passed away, our parents, our children. Some of us have children that have passed away, our siblings, brothers and sisters. It could be our cousins and uncles and aunties and grandparents and so on. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reunite all of us and allow us to be together at elevated and high ranks in Jannah, in paradise. Ameen. Let's move on to Surah An-Najm. Surah An-Najm. At the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. By the stars when they fade away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by the stars and when they fade away. Your fellow man is neither misguided nor astray. Talking about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not delusional. He's not, you know, going crazy. He's not a magician. He's not making this up. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he's not misguided nor is he astray. He's not like lost. He's not losing it. Right? وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Nor does he speak of his own whims. Right? He doesn't. What he's saying is not simply from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone. It is pre-approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in terms of speech or what he does and where he went to and what he allowed and disallowed or approved of and disapproved of and so on and so forth is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only a revelation sent down to him. Okay, as in the Quran, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. Verily it is a revelation that is sent down to him. It is not from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is a messenger carrying the message from Allah to us as human beings. And sometimes we say from Allah to the angel to him, but remember the wahi came down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in different ways. Sometimes the angel didn't come and visit him. Sometimes it was just very heavy upon him. Right, and his body would get very heavy. Now, Aisha radiallahu anha says, you know, sometimes his head was on her thigh, right? He was leaning on her, and she could feel the weight of the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very heavy on her, and she knew that this was him receiving the revelation. Wahy was coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so it was very heavy for him when receiving it, and the body itself went into a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if we move on to verses number let's move further, inshallah. Let's move further through because we have a lot to cover. Verse number 38, okay? Let's go to verse number 38 of Surah An-Najm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here, أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they state that no soul burdened with sin will bear the burden of another, and that each person will only have what they endeavored towards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here that no soul shall bear the burden of another. I will not have to give account for you. You will not have to give account for me. Now, for example, I'll give you a simple example. Someone goes to a scholar to get, some ruling, right? They ask about a question they don't know the answer to, and the scholar gives them an answer to it. If the scholar gives them an answer and that answer is wrong, that person who receives it and who acts upon it is not actually sinned for that. Right? They went and they sought knowledge, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do, and it is the scholar who receives that sin themselves, and they have to bear that burden of their own actions. It's not the action of the person, it's the action of themselves. They gave an answer to something that maybe they were unaware of. And if they were unaware of it, then that's a different story. But if they intentionally gave the wrong answer for someone to do something that they should not have done, then that's where it is very dangerous for the scholar, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect every single one of us. Ameen. I see a message from Sheikh Hudaifa, and he's asking me if I have time to speak before my class, and I'm actually already in my class. So if you're watching, you could type in the chat session on, you know, Facebook, and I'll, inshallah, see what you're saying. No, don't do that if it's like private stuff that we need to discuss, inshallah. I'm just messing with you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here, look, we will all have to give account for ourselves. Now, the point that I wanted to make here is with children. Sometimes with children, we feel as parents, once they get older and they're mature, that we are still responsible to, or we're still responsible and we have to give account for their actions. No, my brothers and sisters, once our children become mature, then they are responsible for their own actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's an example of وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌّ يُوحَىٰ, that Allah shows us through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ, that the pen is lifted upon three, or from three, right? So the pen does not write when three, in three occasions. When, for example, a child who is not mature, that pen is lifted. That child will not have their, you know, anything that they do, a mistake that they make, you know, a sin that's committed, it's not considered a sin for that child, right? So any mistakes that they do before knowing and, you know, missing out prayer, for example, they may not be doing something, but they're just not praying, right? They're not praying. They're like 10 years old, not mature yet. They're not praying. There's no sin upon them. The moment they become mature, then they have to pray. And if they don't pray and if they reject prayer, then that is a sin in itself, right? Also, the pen is lifted upon the person who is not sane. So the person that is not able to, comprehend with a sound mind, right? With a sound mind. And I know back in the day when we used to talk about it, it would be like, okay, only people that, you know, visibly, clearly in front of you, you know, they're not all there. But remember, my brothers and sisters, so much pressure and so much tension and so much stress that's going on in people's lives nowadays that at times they might look on the outside like, okay, everything's perfectly fine and they're acting fine and behaving fine, but we can't see what's going on inside of their minds, right? We don't know what's going on in their minds. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge, right? We leave it up to Allah. And the third case, or the third time when the pen is lifted, is upon the person who is sleeping until they wake up. So when the person is sleeping, if they set an alarm to wake up and they wake up and they shut the alarm off and they're like, eh, I'm just going to go back to sleep, then that's not permissible, right? That would be a sin in itself. However, if a person is sleeping and they don't hear the alarm and they don't hear the call to prayer and they don't get up and they don't pray, but they tried to, they intended to, and they made an honest effort to do that, but they just didn't wake up, then the pen is lifted upon them as well, or the pen is lifted from writing down what they've done also, or not done. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have done for us in these three times. Other than that, you know, whatever we do, whatever we don't do that we're supposed to do, if that's considered a sin, then that sin is written for us, and we are not the ones who are held accountable for the sins of other people. As parents, we need to learn to raise our children properly, and we need to teach our children, you know, what is needed from the deen, and then leave it upon them. Leave it upon them. We guide them, we show them, we educate them, we stand beside them, we support them, but eventually they are going to have to stand on their own two feet. And sadly, my brothers and sisters, that doesn't start when our children are 32 years old, finished university, have, you know, a beautiful six-figure salary that's coming in, they buy their own house, they get married, you know, they have children. It doesn't start then, my brothers and sisters. That's the mistake that parents make. Right? And we all make this mistake. Every single one of us, we want to see our children stay small for as long as possible. But the reality is they grow fast, and they grow faster than we desire. So we need to be ahead of that game. We need to understand that they're growing fast. So I need to make sure that they are ready by the time that they're grown. Not say, okay, now they're mature, now I need to get them ready. No, they have to be ready by the time that they're mature to take on the responsibility of life and the deen and certain things that are important for them to live by in their lives, okay? So don't feel sad, or don't feel, you know, as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you or me for what our children who are mature, making their own decisions, do. Now, did we do the right thing when our children were young before they were mature? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Did we do something wrong? Did we not educate them enough? Did we slack off when it came to educating our children at a time that we should have been educating them? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect every single one of us, because we know very well how difficult it is to be a parent. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself knows how difficult it is to be a parent. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be merciful upon us. And I don't mean that in the way that Allah is a parent. No, He created us, so He knows what the parents go through. Okay, Allah created us. He is not a father. Okay, He is not a mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique. And we cannot say that Allah is a parent and He knows what parents go through because He's experienced it. No, He created us and He knows what we go through because He's aware of the knowledge of the unseen. He's aware of what goes on within our hearts and our mind and our struggles and so on and so forth. Let's move on, inshallah ta'ala. We'll go to Surah Al-Qamar, which is titled The Moon. Okay, Surah Al-Qamar. At the very beginning of the surah, in the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. The hour has drawn near and the moon was split in two. Okay, the hour has drawn near, as in the day of judgment is very close, and the moon was split in two. The moon splitting was something that happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a sign for the mushrikun of the power and might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They wanted a sign, and that was done. So Allah says that the moon was split. And that is one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, but also a sign of the coming of the day of judgment. Okay, and so Allah says the hour has drawn near and the moon was split. Yet whenever they see a sign, they turn away saying, it's the same old stuff, right? It's the same old magic. Sihrum mustamir, right? Constantly the same magic. You know, that's just magic, that's magic, this is magic. None of it is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of it is His greatness. None of it is the power and might of Allah azza wa jal. And that's where those who are ignorant and disbelieve or turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, they make that mistake and not recognizing the power and strength and ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hour is near, okay? And it is not magic that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. It's a sign, a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the hour is near, if the day of judgment is near, and that was 1,400 some odd years ago, imagine how important it is for us to take this seriously. If Allah says that the day of judgment is near, that means we need to believe it and know that the day of judgment is near. Like, it is near, it's coming. And we need to be ready, we need to be prepared, we need to prepare our children so that they can prepare their children and their children, because we don't know when it's going to be, but it is near, right? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save and protect us all from the fitna of the end of time. Ameen. Let's move to Surah Ar-Rahman. Okay, Surah Ar-Rahman. And I'm jumping through intentionally. At the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the most compassionate. It's the only surah in the Quran that begins with one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman. Like, that's the first sentence, the first verse. It's just a name of Allah, Ar-Rahman. Who is that? The most compassionate, right? The most compassionate, the most merciful, Ar-Rahman. عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. As the most compassionate, He taught the Qur'an. So the Qur'an that we learn, we're actually learning something that's divine. And we know that. But I want you to think of it in a different way. I want you to think that you learned it from your mother or from your father, who learned it from their mother or father, who learned it from their mother or father, and it goes all the way back to some of the Sahaba, some of the companions, you know, well, goes to some of the Tabi'een, then goes to some of the Sahaba, and then goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that goes back to Angel Jibreel, that goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. which means that what we are reciting is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while at the same time understanding that this Qur'an, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. See, shaitan doesn't want us to continue on. He wants us to get tired and be like, khalas, it's enough. Let's go. I'm tired now. No, we're going to keep pushing. We're going to break shaitan's back. And shaitan is chained up, no doubt. We know that. But it's the nafs, right? The nafs is like, let's just give in. No, we're not going to give in, inshallah. We're going to keep going. So, allama al-Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who taught the Qur'an first. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ. And he created humanity. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. And taught them speech. So the speech that we speak, the words that come out of our mouth, is taught to us by Allah. How? Through the Qur'an. When we look at the Qur'an, we look at, you know, there are examples of stories that are given. There are, you know, stern commands. There are, you know, examples of how to speak and how to deal with one another, right? Examples of how to put up with hardship and how to be peaceful and you know, correct in the way that we do things. You know, all of these are examples that we find within the Qur'an, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us speech. And not only us as the believers who follow, believers in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who follow the message of the Qur'an, going all the way back to the beginning of time, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam and Hawa as well, and there was no Qur'an at the time. So when Allah says, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, Allah taught us how to speak. And it's important for us to learn how to speak correctly, and when to speak, and what to speak of, and when not to speak. And I put this out there last night, you know, talking about fundraising. A lot of people are going to be doing fundraising today and tonight, and, you know, inshallah, we will as well. And I know people say, oh, come on, man, not again. 27th night, you're going to waste it with fundraising. We're not wasting it with fundraising. My brothers and sisters, there's a child out there who's an orphan. There's a child who's being abused or assaulted. There's a mother who is a widow. There's a mother who is homeless. There's a mother who is single-handedly raising her children. There's a father who's living on the streets. There's an uncle who's, you know, homeless. There are, you know, families that are in need. There are masajid that are, you know, on the verge of not being able to sustain themselves. You know, there are many issues that are out there, and we need to fundraise. That's important. So my brothers and sisters, you know, when we think of it, yeah, it's the 27th night. Yes, we want to enjoy it. Yes, we want to be busy in ibadah, but from the best types of ibadah, the best types of worship and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to actually do good deeds and give, right? Give for the sake of Allah. And this is where, you know, we need to understand that there are all different kinds of people out there. We need to speak, you know, in an appropriate manner that is going to be proper, as Allah says in the Quran, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, He taught us how to speak. And from the best of speech is that which is inviting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah to make it easy for us to do that. We'll go to some more examples from Surah Ar-Rahman. Let's jump to verse number 46. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the gardens. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. And whoever is in awe of standing before their Lord, they're scared, they're worried, they're conscious of it, that I will stand before Allah someday and I'll have to give account for what I've done. So let me make sure that I do the best that I can in this world and try not to commit any mistakes or sins. We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala... Ooh, give me a second. I'm going to need to get off Facebook. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for every single one of us. I think the live stream is about to begin. So I'm going to need to cut this short. But we're talking about Jannah from verses number 46 to 53. And then Surah Al-Waqi'ah, I will pick up from there and give a couple examples from tomorrow onwards, inshallah. Jazakum Allahu khayran wa barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barakallahu.